Now, the rest of the story. The Presbyterian Cemetery, it was called back then, one of Baltimore's less pretentious burial grounds, huddled at the corner of Fayette and Green Streets. Still, there were some rather impressive headstones and monuments, and a walk among them in fair weather might even have been considered pleasant. But then there was the mound. One would have to have been somewhat clever to conclude that someone lay beneath the mound, for indeed that plot had been all but ignored over the years, for decades in fact. Yet there it was, not far from the rear gate, unassuming to the point of anonymity and utterly neglected. A query regarding the unkempt grave's occupant might have prompted all sorts of answers, but the cruelest and most direct of all was true, that the dead man had been an impoverished alcoholic, that he had died deliriously and virtually alone on Sunday, the 7th of October, 1849, that there were only four people present when he was buried and no one bothered to produce a headstone. But this is the rest of the story. One of the deceased's few surviving relatives was a cousin named Nielsen. In 1860, he prevailed upon a stonecutter to provide a marble slab for the drunkard's grave. It was to bear a modest inscription in Latin and the dead man's name, and that was all. The slab was thus inscribed, sent to the rail yard for delivery, and it was lying there alongside several other monuments to be transported when suddenly, accidentally, a Northern Central locomotive jumped the track, crashed into the collection of engraved marble. Incredibly, all of the slabs were utterly undamaged, except one. The monument intended for Nielsen's cousin was completely demolished. So more years passed, and the little grave remained unmarked and unattended. The Civil War came and went, as did the arduous decade subsequent. Then a full quarter century after the grave's occupant had passed away, somebody took up a collection for the manufacture of another monument, a really nice one this time. A sculptor named Moses Ezekiel was commissioned to do it, and he did it. He created a masterpiece in clay, and then he sent that clay model to the foundry to be cast in bronze. But you know, a fire broke out at the foundry, and that model was destroyed. So Ezekiel made another model, and he finished that one, and it was sitting in his studio ready for shipment when an earthquake struck, destroying the model and the studio and all. It was as though the man who lay in that pathetic plot in Presbyterian Cemetery wished from his resting place to remain anonymous. And yet that was not to be, for on November 17, 1875, this is 26 years after his death, the impoverished alcoholic was exhumed and was moved to a more prominent section of the cemetery where he was reinterred and properly memorialized. A monument now marks that grave, and to stand there admiring it, one would scarcely imagine that it had ever been neglected or that its occupant for more than a quarter century refused to be remembered. The cruelest and most direct explanation is not included in the wording of the tombstone, that the dead man was indeed an impoverished alcoholic, that he had died deliriously and virtually alone on a Sunday, the 7th day of October, 1849, that there had been but four people present when he was buried and nobody had even bothered to produce a headstone for the immortal American wordsmith, Edgar Allan Poe. And now you know the rest of the story.